Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mraz. You know maybe the best thing to come out of 2020? Me doing more work putting together the best of the DA show. Keep it locked here from the best from today.
Oakley is an equipment manager. Oakley does a lot of sports equipment. Oakley does the visors for the NFL helmets. And in collaboration with the doctors and engineers from the NFL and NFLPA, Oakley has created the mouth shield. Now, if you think about this, you know what a visor looks like. Imagine a plastic cone or protection surface around where your face guard is, where the face mask is. And now imagine that instead of an eye shield, there's a mouth shield. And it's almost like a filter. It's like a plastic filter. And the way that this works is, as you breathe through it, there's a whole lot of chambers. And so breathing through it, because there's all kind of a honeycomb effect, your droplets can't get out. And droplets can't get in. There's too many interlocking chambers, but you can breathe. Air circulates in and out, and sound circulates in and out. So this is a really interesting concept. And if you're the NFL and you can prove this prevents transmission of the virus both out and in, that's an enormous, enormous victory. Will this face shield make the NFL safe? It is where we begin your cold open.
My second year in the league, you know, I thought it'd be cool. I put a visor on my head. I was like, it looks so cool. I want to put a visor on. I had it on for about three periods of practice, and I said, take this sucker off. I'm going to die out here. I literally, just the face one. So now you're going to put something around my mouth, and you can keep that. If that comes into play, I don't think you're going to see me out there on the field.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Now that's J.J. Watt talking about a visor where he says it was claustrophobic. He felt in danger because he couldn't see around it. He immediately took it off and he's saying, if there's a face shield, then I'm not going to go out there and play. You probably won't see me out there. That audio courtesy of Pro Football Talk. But I will say this. While J.J. Watt or others might be hesitant to embrace something like this that they feel could be claustrophobic, or they feel as though it gets in their way of breathing, or they feel like it could be dangerous or impede what they feel is the safest way for them to play football, hey, I get it. I'm certainly not going to say anybody has to be forced to wear this. If they want to opt out, they don't feel safe. Football is inherently dangerous anyway. Now you add the transmission of a disease in there. Look, I get it. But I do think these are advantages that you have to encourage and applaud and look for these companies to keep working on. Get it better. Get it better. I mean, if you go back and you look at a football helmet from the 50s, I mean, now we look at it and it's a joke. If you look at a football helmet from the 90s, it looks like a joke. You've got football helmets splitting in half in the 90s. Cracks in the helmet. Today, that would never happen. If you look at safety measures in the NFL, just from an equipment standpoint, it's so obvious. I mean, once upon a time, have you ever seen those old pictures or video of hockey goalie masks? I mean, they barely covered anything. And now you fast forward. And so I do think you've got to applaud and embrace innovation here. And I like this idea. And I like the idea of engineers that have already worked with sports equipment manufacturers or engineers or sports leagues and players that have done one thing, saying, let's try other ways to do this. I don't think there's any way that you could ever make football completely safe from transmitting this virus. I don't think you could make sports ever completely safe. I think that's ultimately, there's never going to be a 0% chance. But these types of advantages and these types of advancements, I like hearing. And I hope that this does end up working. And I really hope that players have an open mind about it. I hope that they try it on and they go through a practice, they go through a scrimmage, whatever that's going to be. They run around in it. They try to really utilize this in some type of action. And they keep an open mind about it. Because the worst thing you can do is say, no, not doing it. I once tried a visor a couple of years ago. That didn't work. I'm not doing this. I want to see, and look, if the bulk of players say, no, this doesn't work for me, then it's back to the drawing board. You got to find something that works for the players. But I'd like to see the players be open-minded about, okay, let's see if this works. Let's see how this feels. Let's see what this does. Because I think that the technology here that we have at our disposal in 2020 is of enormous importance for us getting life back to normal and certainly sports back to normal. Sports and science, sports and technology is intertwined. It always has been. And so now it's just on fast forward, and I'd like to see the players keep an open mind about this. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. DA on CBS. Mraz, what do you think about the NFL's face shield idea? Do you think this seems like a cool idea, or is this off the mark?
No, I think it's a cool idea, and what I loved about it most, DA, is that there wasn't some kind of crazy press conference with Roger Goodell and a doctor trying to introduce this. It wasn't like the NFL was looking for pats on the back for the way they're handling coronavirus. Like you joked earlier about how they're just full steam ahead. They have been behind the scenes working on this. They have been looking for answers. They haven't been looking to create more questions. And the idea that they are shipping this to all 32 teams to see if this thing works, I think the NFL should absolutely be applauded for not trying to just turn around and act like coronavirus isn't a thing. They are absolutely trying to make this safer, make it safe for the players. And as far as J.J. Watt goes, look, I'm currently invested in Yankee inter-squad scrimmages on Yes Network locally in New York. And Clint Frazier, an outfielder, is wearing a surgical mask that we all have to wear everywhere we go in the store, and he is vowing to play this season in that. And I know baseball is a little different, and I'm not trying to tell J.J. Watt he has to play, but if you don't want to play and you want to bow out, I think you have every right to do that. But to blame the NFL innovations of trying something as why you would bow out, to me, I think you're not looking at the bigger picture if you're J.J. Watt. And that's not necessarily the answer I want to hear from players. If you don't want to play, you don't want to play. Don't blame that to me on the visors and the masks that the NFL is trying to make the game safer with.
Yeah, and JJ might have been joking there. I mean, he kind of had a little bit of a laugh, so I hope that it was more lighthearted, like, you won't see me out there if we got those right. Face guards. And I hope that JJ Watt strikes me as a guy that would be open-minded.
Sure.
He seems like the type of guy that would try other things and not be too defiant or stubborn. But yeah, I mean, you have to give the NFL and Oakley and all the equipment managers credit, as you said, for saying over the last couple of months, we have to turn up a notch our innovation. We've got to turn up a notch our advancements. And this is the first one we'll see. You know, my guess is there's going to be a bunch of stuff that they've been playing with behind the scenes because we haven't had guys report to OTAs or minicamps. So we don't know what they could be experimenting with. But the more stuff that they've experimented with and want to try for the players, don't you think that's better?
Yes, and also setting an example. I mean, DA, you see it every day. Everybody fight with each other about the mask. Where I don't understand why you just can't wear a mask and keep everybody happy. if you follow health and science and you are a big fan and a big proponent of wearing masks, if the NFL sets the example and they limit positive cases by running around with these Oakley masks on, that only furthers your case. And if you're somebody who is very naive out there waving the banner, I don't want to wear a mask, and the NFL, who you know you love, is sitting there and the masks are working, that will only help sway your argument too. I think the NFL could set a real good example with the Oakley face shields as well here, which, frankly, I mean, it might be sad that everybody looks towards the NFL as kind of role models and all of this other stuff, but, you know, in the, what I think might be the most senseless fight we have going on in the world over masks or no masks, the NFL could set a really good example here, and if this works and cases are limited as a result and there is science and data behind it, that could silence a lot of people right now and calm some waters, if you will, on an ongoing fight that shouldn't be happening anyway.
Yeah, and I like the idea also of advancing this idea of a breathing filter.
Yes.
So that having something in front of you that things can't get out and things can't get in. We know that the masks aren't foolproof. They're much better than not having a mask. But I would love to see innovation go towards this just in general public, where you know that if you have some type of honeycomb in front of you, some type of breathing apparatus in front of you, that things can't get out and things can't get in.
Right.
That's a really cool advancement we can make in general, and right, it would be great if the NFL led the way on that.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, we begin with Darryl Green, Hall of Fame corner for Washington, winner of Super Bowls with Washington, commending his franchise for changing its team name. This audio courtesy of our friends Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm glad about it. I'm certainly applaud Mr. Dan Snyder for making this decision. But it's always been a disparaging thing hanging over this team and that name. But I want to just make it on record. I applaud this decision, and I agree with it. This is the reconciling of history. And I think that because of where we are in our nation, this is great. This is great. You know, all these things that they're doing, we're finally going to say that human beings, as they are, the most valued of all creation, not the big old strong whale or the king of the jungle or the birds or the trees, but human beings get first place again. And this is a part of that. And I applaud that across the board in our nation.
Darryl Green on with Tiki and Tierney yesterday here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, when you do away with a nickname, it's not like the players that played under that nickname don't exist anymore. And so that's kind of a hollow worry about this, that the history remains. Of course the history remains. Nobody ever argues that the history doesn't remain. That's always such a concocted, weird fear about this. When St. John's was the Red Men, nobody eliminates Chris Mullin or Mark Jackson from history. When Washington was the Bullets, nobody ever says Wes Unseld didn't exist. These are just transitions. Look, the Oilers became the Titans. Nobody ever says that Warren Moon or the run and shoot or Earl Campbell didn't play. Of course, those rings, those trophies, those players, those Hall of Famers, everything still exists. It's just modernizing what we find acceptable and honoring and reputable. And that's good. That is a good transition to make. Dan Snyder probably had the wrong reasons to make the decision. They were monetarily made for him by sponsors. But at the end of the day, the old adage, the end justifies the means. They changed the nickname. It was overdue. Thankfully, they did. And everything that happened before then with the franchise and the great players and great games will always be there. Here is another NFL Hall of Famer, Bruce Smith, who took to Family Feud. And he was part of a Hall of Fame NFL team that had Michael Irvin and Chris Carter. This was a difficult question in a speed round at the end, where Bruce Smith has a really awkward answer for Steve Harvey, the host. Let's play the clip.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a what the he said?
Come on, we can't start this again. We can't, come on now. We can't go again.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We can't go again.
I'm sorry.
Let go, let go, let go. We can't
I'm
go
sorry.
Again. Let go, let go.
I'm sorry. I swear I'm sorry. That just came out. I don't even know where that came from. I was reading the question, and then I said, what? I'm sorry. Okay, can we start over? I'm sorry. This, your ass going on YouTube, though.
He said y'all going to be going on YouTube.
Oh, but you're going to be on YouTube. You're going to be the greatest clip ever played. Because Captain Hook replaced his hook with a penis.
By the way... That audio, you could hear the crowd. They erupted like with the 93 AFC Championship game to Ralph Wilson.
The Bills won.
How about that being what pops into your mind? If Captain Hook, first of all, the question's really convoluted. If Captain Hook was a handyman, what would he replace his hook hand with? Okay, so hammer was one of them, screwdriver one of them, what have you. And then Bruce Smith says that, has that answer.
The business is also how serious Michael Irvin has taken the game, going, no, Steve, we can't stop. Come on, we don't want to go again. We got to keep going.
Why would that be what pops into Bruce Smith's mind for a handyman?
A penis.
Likes to watch. Knock on the door. I heard you got a busted pipe. Sure, come on in. I got all my tools right here.
So that's Bruce Smith just saw basically a porno that had that as the backdrop is what we're saying. All right, and finally, yesterday was such a wild day aboard the mothership. Mraz had to go into the studio for the first time since pandemic hit to go pick up new equipment. Shep happened to be in there. Shep was working last night. Shep's shift ended at midnight. Shep was still there when our show began up until the 7 o'clock hour. The 7 a.m. hour. Mraz asked, why are you still here, Shep? Your shift ended 7-plus hours ago. He said, I left my keys at my house and I don't want to go home to wake up my girlfriend because she needs her beauty sleep. Totally bizarre rationale here. So Mraz started to clown Shep that he doesn't even really have a girlfriend. Nobody's ever met his girlfriend. So Shep decided to film a video of his girlfriend. To give you an idea of what this looks like, he is behind the camera. She is in front of the camera. She is up against a white wall. It doesn't look like it's a house. It looks like it's an airport terminal. And he is now filing her questions. And listen to the hesitation in his girlfriend's voice. Shep sent us this with the belief that this would prove that he has a girlfriend. And I have to say, all it does is open up more questions. Let's play the clip.
So there's a little bit of controversy today on the DA show that producer Shep doesn't have a girlfriend. And I haven't been dating the same girl for almost 2 years. So, Marika, can you please set the record straight and tell them who you are and how you know me so we can just get this out of the way, please?
I found you on the street, and I am some random girl since December 20th, 2018. Good? Have you watched cooking?
But who are you for me?
Marika. Girlfriend?
Whatever. No, not whatever. Who are you?
Marika.
And you are David Shepherd's
best friend.
And?
Girlfriend.
There you go. We got that out of the way.
Okay. Every part of that hurts Shep's case here. Every part. Number one, he asks this female on camera in what appears to be a hostage video, who are you and how do we know each other? And she says, I found you on the street. I'm a random girl. That's her first. That's right. Her first answer is, I found you on the street.
That was the most believable part of the whole video on yesterday.
Right. It's very likely he was just on the street.
Yes, and we know Shep's history of bed bugs, of homelessness, of not having an ability to, you know, he's couch surfing.
History of homelessness. I found you on the street.
I found you on the street, and I'm a random girl. Then he presses her, and she says that I'm your friend. I'm your friend until the very end. No. What are you? And she finally, in resignation, hangs her head and mumbles, girlfriend. Can I go now?
Oh.
Now, come on. If I were to write a script about what the video would look like of Shep trying to convince us that he has a girlfriend, this is exactly what it would be, which would only open up all sorts of other questions. She won't even proudly say, I'm your girlfriend. She tries to get out of it three different times.
It's already been written. It's called Dexter.
It is so uncut. The look in her eyes, like, do I really have to say this on camera? Okay, I need to do this for my life. That's basically how it looked. Everything we questioned about Shep basically holding a woman hostage appeared to be the case. This video was scarier than some of the Britney Spears stuff that's been making the waves on the internet.
You know, when you're like in fifth grade, okay, and you've got a crush on a girl, or a girl has a crush on you, and she doesn't really like you, or you don't really like her, they just keep saying, oh, aren't we girlfriend, boyfriend? Aren't we girlfriend, boyfriend? Aren't we girlfriend, boyfriend? And at some point, the person that's not interested in it just kind of like gives up, is like, we're friends. Okay, yeah, fine. We're girlfriend, boyfriend. Even though that doesn't really mean anything. Because, you know, at some point in time, you're just like, okay, whatever. In this clip, she says, whatever. In this clip, she says, we're just friends. And then after badgering, she finally sinks her head, closes her eyes, and admits it. I mean, I don't know what that says about this.
It says there are some serious questions. And I would also say the problem here, and this is again goes to Shep's journalistic integrity. He doesn't ask her the $1 million question. Why did I have to stay at work an extra 7 hours? I mean, we don't need the proof that he has a girlfriend. Well, what do you do for a living? You know what I mean? Like, why? And you're already home from work, so I don't understand what you do.
Well,
and I would also can I just
best friend
and
girlfriend.
There you go.
And if you're gonna give Shep the benefit of the doubt, and I don't know how anybody would or why you would. Not bad for a Dave Shepard. Very. Very pretty young woman. But again, chances are either he found her on the street or she found him on the street.
She says they're best friends. She says, I'm your best friend. She says, I found you on the street. I'm your friend. I'm your best friend. She doesn't want to say girlfriend. What does that tell you?
She feels bad for him.
Well,
she's giving him a hot meal every night.
Look, I think that it's distinctly possible Shep keep saying, yeah, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. And she's like, no, we're not. We're just friends. And this is some like terrible 80s rom-com. Like he's Ducky and Pretty in Pink and she's just not interested. And he just tries to keep convincing her through waterboarding that she's actually his girlfriend. And she's like, no, that's not what we are. No.
So what you're saying is homeless Shep just forces his way into this apartment, becomes a squatter with this woman who has can pay rent, has a job, has a career, and slowly breaks her will into becoming friends, and now is continuing to try and make her his girlfriend?
It's possible that you know, they're in a social bubble. She's got no other options right now because she can't go out and date, and she's just like, all right, Shep lives here. I gave him 3 hots and a cot. He wants to act like we're boyfriend, girlfriend. I know all we do is sit around and watch Netflix all day, but I'm just going to concede here, even though, because this kid's just delusional.
My baby from the streets.
What? Also, Shep's story yesterday about not forgetting his keys. Does he even have a key? Has she even given him a key? And well, that's why if he works late hours, she's like, well, you don't even really live here. I just kind of let you crash here. So yeah. That's why, you know, yeah. You're going
to
wait.
This is a fact. This is definitely factoring into Shep's decision to wait 8 hours until he actually went home, until she was awake, because she refuses to acknowledge that they're actually boyfriend, girlfriend. And so he's just like so worried about doing the wrong thing that he could be thrown out again into couch surfing across New York City for the next 4 months.
Now, wait a minute.
There's going to be more of a deep dive into this, I'm sure, as part of the PGP or perhaps later on in the show, because it's just one of the most remarkable pieces of audio we've ever had. That's your sound check.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
On this date 4 years ago, July the 14th, 2016, we played Are You Smarter Than a Third Grader? What do you believe the predominant language is in Brazil? Take a listen.
This is the one we expect to probably get some giggles out of, right, James? James is anxious for this one. It's the 15th and final question. What's the predominant language of Brazil?
Okay. We're going to reason with ourselves here. You would expect me to say Brazilian, obviously, which would cause giggles. I happen to have a tenant, a landlord upstairs that is from Brazil. So, my answer, without any further ado, I got to come up with an answer, would be... Oh, it's not Spanish. Oh. You know what? No, I'm going to go back to my original methods.
Oh, no.
Oh.
All right. Hurry it up, big boy.
All right.
You did say without further ado.
Brazil is near.
Like 45 seconds.
Rio, Egyptian.
Holy crap. No way. No way.
They're near each other?
No way.
What other country speaks a different language that's near it?
No way. No, there's no...
I was going to say Rioanese, but I know that that's just the city.
Rioanese. The two questions were Egyptian, the two answers, and Rioanese.
I was convinced there's no language you could give me that would make me laugh, and I was dead wrong.
What, can I get the real language?
You think that Egypt and Brazil are close?
Yeah, they're pretty close. And yeah. I saw the movie
Rio,
too.
Where do you
too.
Think they are located on the globe?
Point them out on the map.
Well, the pyramids are in Egypt.
Right.
That's in Africa.
Okay.
Okay, and that's where Brazil is. Or not.
Not.
Well, where could it be, then? Come on, where is it, then?
The soundtrack of his life.
Oh, my God. Goodness.
South America? Is it South America? Oh, that's why the time zone thing isn't a big deal for the Olympics, then. That would make sense. Idiot. Did they speak Chile?
Yes, they speak Chile.
Oh, that's...
You still have to give me the answer. What is the answer?
The answer is Portuguese.
Ah.
Portuguese.
That makes sense.
You were close.
That makes sense. I was close.
On this date, 4 years ago, July the 14th, 2016, one of the most memorable moments in DA show history, Mraz guessing Egyptian for what language they speak in Brazil. Now, of course, it's a difficult question because who would naturally connect Portuguese to Brazil? But Brazil was founded, colonized by the Portuguese, which is why they speak Portuguese there, and we all knew that Mraz had no idea. It was just about what was the guess going to be, and I just figured it was going to be Spanish, but he had outthought himself there. That was Jay Bourbon with a classic host gig right there of the game show, Are You Smarter Than a Mraz? And Mraz proved that there was actually an answer that would have shocked us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I believe we asked that question because that was where that summer's Olympics were going to be. You heard Mraz reference that there. Mraz, if I asked you that today, do you think you would have a different guess?
Yeah, I would have guessed Portuguese because now I know. And that was going to be my point. We were supposed to bring that back a year later for a chance to redeem myself. Here it is 4 years later, and you've just left me out with that clip. Like, I've had no chance to come back and prove I've gotten smarter.
You think that you've proven that you've gotten smarter than that over the last 4 years?
I think I've obviously had moments out loud where people would question that, but I think I am absolutely a smarter human being than I was 4 years ago. Absolutely.
You should clip that, Pete, for the Year of the Buffoon montage.
It's up to about 30 clips already.
So if you had never been put in that position to be asked whether, you know, it was Portuguese or not, you think 4 years later you would have just naturally have learned it?
No, I have to be honest. If I didn't hear that, I still would have no idea. And I still don't really know because even then I'm questioning. I kind of think I still think Portugal's in Europe. So that would throw me off a little bit as far as how we got from that to Brazil, unless that's one of their provinces or territories. I don't really know.
Well, I just said, yes, Portuguese is in Europe, but they colonized Brazil.
Oh, okay, that's right. So that's kind of, all right. That's kind of like our U.S. Virgin Islands.
I don't know.
Is Brazil like their Hawaii? Portugal's Hawaii?
No.
Like Bermuda is kind of England's Florida. So what would that leave Brazil compared to Portugal?
I'd have to really think about what our equivalent is here. I don't know if there is a direct equivalent. I mean, they're not under the reign of Portugal anymore. So you can rest easy here, Mraz, for the Brazilians. Okay.
Okay.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I hate to do it, but I got to trash a fellow CBS Sports Radio host. I'm going Zach Gelb, host of the Zach Gelb Show, DA. Last week while I was on vacation, our own Tiki Barber had a little bit of a power outage during one of his shows, and he had to go to a next-door neighbor Snooki's house to do his show.
An amazing little anecdote here, Nugget, that Tiki and Snooki live in the same neighborhood.
Which is unbelievable. So Tiki packs up his whole box, he goes and does the show at Snooki's house. Now, you might be asking, why am I trashing Zach Gelb? Well, this is exactly it. This had zero to do with Zach Gelb, and I mean zero. Yet, Zach Gelb decided later on his show, because he knew Snooki was involved, to go on a little rant about, oh, how great it is that Snooki helped out Tiki, and because he did, he didn't have to start work early, where there's no proof of anybody even calling Zach Gelb to say he had to come fill in for Tiki during this time, and he tags Snooki, he ends up putting the video out. And it was the most desperate, obvious, pathetic attempt at a retweet that I actually found it cringeworthy. I found it uncomfortable. I even called him out on Twitter saying, you are way too thirsty. I thought it was actually a bad look for CBS Sports Radio that he was so desperate and so pathetic to need such a validation retweet from Snooki. And then what happens? Snooki ends up giving him the pop and the retweet anyway and going, ah, this is amazing. And he gets what he wanted out of it. So I'm trashing Zach Gelb because you know what? What he did worked, but it is such a bad look and so pathetic and so, ooh, makes the hair stand up on your back how desperate you were for that soul-wrenching retweet from Snooki.
Total wastoid.
Maybe he'll fat shame Mraz.
So it's amazing that Tiki Barber lives in the same neighborhood as Snooki from the Jersey Shore. It's absolutely amazing. And it's even more amazing that they are really good friends. Like, they are couples that go out to dinner and vacation together and things like this. When I learned this a couple of years ago, I was like, no way, Teak. You actually live near Snooki and, like, you hang out with her? He's like, yeah, she's a great gal. Yeah, her husband's great. We really like them. I'm like, this is such a bizarre matrix that I'm in right now. But you're saying that you're trashing Zach because it came off as too desperate, too thirsty for some internet clout. But it worked, Mraz. Don't you have to give him credit because it actually worked?
It didn't. Shame on Snooki for it working. I actually lost a little respect for her.
Oh, really?
And that thing. But it's just, you know, it, you know the idea.
No, no,
yeah,
this
like
is
that.
Jealousy. You're jealous.
No. I've been retweeted by Snooki before.
Show.
That's
you're
not a
jealous.
Problem.
You want Snooki love.
You've been retweeted by Snooki as well?
Yeah, well, because I'm a big fan. I tweet about the show all the time, and I kind of bashed her a couple of years ago. I thought she did something wrong to Angelina, and she quote-tweeted saying, I don't know what I'm talking about, something like that. So,
fair.
But I wasn't looking for the retweet. I just have conversation about the show. My point was Zach inserted himself in something that had zero to do with Imaru's show because he wanted the retweet and then got the retweet. It is gut-wrenchingly pathetic.
This is coming from a guy that does it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Dia, this is its own segment. I don't see this ocean of difference between Sean tweeting at Snooki about a TV show and Gelb inserting himself into Tiki's radio problems. You're doing this, you can say whatever you want, but you tag Snooki in your tweet because you wanted Snooki to see your
to be
tweet
transparent.
And give you some love. Yeah.
No, to be transparent, if I'm going to talk about her, I would like to have conversation with her because I'm into the show.
I would like to have conversation with her. You were looking for Snooki to retweet you. And you often do this. You often do at mention people on Twitter hoping that they will retweet you.
No, not when it comes to something like if that I could have done that with Snooki. Be like, hey, Snooki, thanks for helping out my colleague Tiki. It was so for a CBS Sports Radio enterprise. It was a brutal look for Zach Gelb.
So you think Zach is knocking at the door of Schwartzville in terms of pathetic request for a retweet?
That is the perfect way to look at it. That was a Peter Schwartz move, but take out IHOP and put in Snooki. That's what Zach Gelb did. Zach Gelb is two lacrosse clinics away from being Peter Schwartz at this point.
By the way, how did Schwartz's Olympic events go, you know, the circus of sporting events go yesterday? The wide world of sports.
We got no pictures of baseball camp. There were some Islanders practice pictures. Again, they were terrible. And then we got a clip of son Bradley playing lacrosse. And I got to be honest, not that great a lacrosse player. I hope he has a better football career. So that's all we got out of it. No, not a quick enough release. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm not sure of the actual target of my trash. Rightfully so, through all of this, with every business kind of revamping its operation, we've been very lenient, and I guess this again attaches to Schwartz, we've been very lenient in critiquing businesses for the way they're doing their business in these different, uncertain, difficult times. But I think I need someone to decide when that grace period has ended, or we've reshifted the rules,
okay,
for calling out a business, because I'm in the middle of a customer support battle over one piece of equipment that I need, and I'm on like 3+ weeks of trying to get contact, get this piece, get it in the mail, get it to me, and I think now the company I'm dealing with has far exceeded all of the niceties that should have come their way for dealing with the pandemic. Now they should have their you-know-what in order, and I feel like they don't, and I want to say something about it, not with a tweet, but like to them, but I don't know if I'm allowed to yet. So I need to trash them and then the powers that be that haven't told me yet when I'm allowed to be mad at somebody for not running their business correctly post-pandemic.
All right, trash them.
Is Oscar the Grouch living in there?
Let's go to Pete the Body Bilotti. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
Well, I am trashing the spelling and the accepted spelling of the word canceled. I am so sick of it being accepted that one L and two L's is the way to spell canceled.
Ooh.
I mean, it's unnecessary, just a waste of time. You got one channel saying something is canceled with one L, and the other channel saying it's canceled with two L's. There's no need for it. There's no different meaning with it. So let's just have one universal way to spell canceled, please. It just looks very sloppy.
Warm, all right, sizzling garbage.
It's interesting that you would define this as a waste of time. I would imagine that two accepted spellings actually saves time because nobody has to actually check what the spelling is, but think it's a waste of time.
I think it's a waste of time because there's no need for two spellings. Just have one spelling. Why are we investigating another way to spell canceled? It's a stupid word. Just please. Come on. We've seen enough of it already. Let's have one spelling of it. Come on.
I will align with Pete here. It is weird to see it with two L's. I've always known it as a one L, canceled. When it's two L's, it does look very wonky to me. I don't know why that's an accepted spelling.
Yeah,
I didn't know there were two accepted spellings. I think I've only been using L's my whole life, so this is the first time hearing this.
Of course, yeah. Connor Green.
May I say,
what was that, AB?
I just got to point out, Bilotti in the spring collection looks fantastic on top of a gray trash.
Yeah.
The fuchsia shirt, the sunglasses into the middle here. He's looking sharp in that studio.
Time to go to the beach. Let's go.
Yeah. That is a really nice polo. It's like a fuchsia, magenta polo. He's got a nice tan going on. He was on the beach all last week. He's looking good.
Thank you very much.
Connor Green, who are you trashing?
Well, DA, I am trashing myself for yesterday having a complete momentary lapse of all social skills. So I was on a bike ride, and I ran into one of my sister's friends. And I know her like a little bit, but not too well, so I'm trying to make a little bit of small talk. And I ask her, did you just come from the gym? Which is pretty rude to ask somebody, and that's my number one problem, is like, that's like asking somebody, when's the baby due? And she's like, well, I'm not pregnant. That's number one. Number two, the issue is, I don't know if you guys have heard, but we're in a pandemic right now, so there is not a single gym open in the entire state of New Jersey. So I ask her this question, she looks at me and she's just like, no, I'm not coming from the gym. And I was just like, okay, well, I'll see you later. Good seeing you. And I took my bike like Lance Armstrong, and I rode off so fast in the opposite direction in total embarrassment of my lack of social skills. So just get me out.
That's a dumpster dive.
That's amazing. So you came from the gym. You're sloppily dressed. You seem to be sweating. You look like you have no makeup on. No.
You don't look so good. What's up with that? Is basically what I said.
You're dripping in sweat. Are you out of shape?
What's going on with you?
Yeah, that's great. In the middle of a pandemic, you know, I have tried to hammer this point home. I think we need to be really patient with waiters and waitresses, hosts and hostesses, and restaurants in general. They just have been thrown for a loop, and they're trying to get by. And if they do great service, that's great. If they don't, you have to kind of understand to be a little bit patient, which is why when Schwartz at mentions IHOP, it takes it to a degree of frustration. Like, I mean, come on, dude. It's IHOP on Mother's Day. What do you think is going to happen? You think it's just going to be quick and painless? So I'm at a restaurant, and a group of people come in. There are three people. Seems to be a married couple, and then their kind of goofy, crazy friend. And they're probably in their 50s or 60s or so. So we're already sitting down, the Bourbon Bell and I, we're starting to eat our dinner or our lunch, and they come in, and I hear this kind of sounds of Justin Timberlake playing. I'm like, that's weird. We're not playing music at this restaurant, and we're outside, so where would the music be coming from? And this guy, their wacky friend comes in, and again, this guy's probably in his 50s or 60s, and he's blasting Justin Timberlake on his phone for everybody to hear, like it's a boombox. Turns to me and says, we're bringing sexy back. I'm like, oh no, not these people, not this type of person. They sit down to the table next to us, and they proceed to be the most high maintenance people ever. I mean, ever. Could you guys wipe down our chairs? There's a little bit of water on them. Brings out the manager, come out. Oh, we're so sorry, we'll wipe off the chairs. When they order their apps, they want their fries extra crispy. Okay, could you do our fries extra crispy? I'm like, who personalizes the freaking French fries? Just get the French fries. Unfortunately, I can hear all of this because they're at the table next to us. They begin going through the menu when the waiter comes back. They're being so nice to these people, and they really didn't have to be. And they start picking apart everything. Oh, can we do the sandwich with this? Can we replace this for this? Can we take off cheese? I mean, it's now a create your own sandwich option for these people. I'm like, oh my God. They then begin talking about the crazy guy's single life. I guess he's recently single. Again, I can't believe I know this much about them, but he's recently divorced or single. And he is wearing one of those full face shields, okay? Now, I'm all for being protective and safe. You got to wear a mask. You got to mask up. I do it as well. But the full face guard makes you look like a beekeeper. And so this guy is doing his whole song and dance, being the wacky single friend of theirs, playing Justin Timberlake in a beekeeper outfit, talking about his single life and who he's dating and how it went. And then as they're kind of eating, they bring over the waitress, and she's got to be college age. She's just trying to make a summer buck. And they start telling her knock-knock jokes. And they start trying to make her laugh, and then telling her, do you have any jokes? Do you have any jokes for us? Could you imagine being a 19-year-old girl trying to serve a bunch of high-maintenance dolts, one of which is trying to be the wacky John Ritter of the group in a beekeeper outfit, and having to do stand-up to get your tip? Please treat people well. Please treat service people well. Please treat your postal service people well. And everybody around here that's just trying to do their job. We all got to be more thoughtful. I just cringed at these people. And they're older. They should know better. They're not wacky. They're not funny. They're not doing stand-up. They shouldn't be in a beekeeper outfit. Just eat your meal. Take the fries as they come. If your sandwich has cheese on it, just deal with it, okay? It's a $15 sandwich. Just deal with it. Trash all of these people. Get them out.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
And now, we're naked and stunned.
Woohoo!
Yes!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
In case you were wondering, the Sandy Terrace's nudist colony on Cape Cod is now open after delay this summer. It were. Now, my initial objection would be, if I'm going to have a nudist colony, I don't think any terraces should be sandy in case I sit on one of them. It's not the surprise I would want, but this is only one of two nudist colonies in all of Massachusetts. So if you need to be naked outside with others, you only had two choices. One of them is now open, so get yourself naked to Sandy Terraces. But as you might expect, life at this nudist colony is very different during the pandemic. About 40% of the regular membership is staying away this summer. Plus, they apparently, during the week, would normally get walk-up nude guests. Those numbers now are almost zero. As the Cape Cod Times points out, laundry would normally just basically be towels and socks, but now there are face masks mixed in. You must sign a statement before coming in that says you're experiencing no symptoms. And once you're inside, there normally would have been potluck dinners, volleyball games, other group activities, but so far this summer, they've only had one cornhole tournament. So yes, Sandy Terraces is now open, but the luscious life of nudity there is not what it used to be in years past.
Can I ask how nudist campgrounds work with a walk-up? I mean, can you have taken your clothes off in the car, at the car? Like when you walk up to the colony to swipe your credit card into to see if there's vacancy, you have to be nude. So when do you get nude? Because do you get nude by the time you get into the car to drive there? What happens if they turn you away? Then you're still nude. You can't stop on the way back to get yourself to keto.
No,
I don't understand how that works.
I think, DA, I think you go nude the moment you're, okay, you got a vacancy, I'm in, I slide my card, the gate opens, clothes come off. I think the big reveal happens after you've paid your entry.
The big reveal.
The big reveal comes out, and we come running in like Tarzan. I think that's what you do.
Now, there's a sign at this nudist colony that says, nude only, no swimsuits allowed. So they are strict. You can't just be walking around in a swimsuit. You've got to be nude. It is a mandate. So I don't know if you're in the campground office, if you're allowed to have clothes on.
Well, it's probably a lot like when you come in from walking on outer space before you enter the space station. There's
probably
like that
a lot
room.
Like that.
There's that room you get in where you kind of like get the air decompressed, and then you go from non-gravity to gravity or whatever you're doing in there, and then it's breathable air. So I'm assuming you probably have like a little bit of a runway where
I'm sure
that's
exactly
like you're not
like
in the colony. It's after you've paid, and that's where you get nude. That's the best way I would compare it.
Now, I know that, Mraz, we've talked about this on the show, that you distinctly said, I'm not going to go away to college because I'm scared of communal showers. So I know that you were very hesitant on being around anybody nude. I can tell you, I went to college and I never had a communal shower. I always was able to take my own private shower. So I think you might have been a little off in that. Bogus, I don't know about you, but did you shower communally at Fordham?
No, there were stalls and curtains.
Shocking.
Freshman year. Yeah, and then after that, we had our own bathroom in our apartments the final 3 years there. So, yeah, in retrospect, sure, that might have been a question you wanted to ask someone out loud, not just an assumption you should have made that they're going to hose you down in groups at college.
Spanking himself. No,
I just assumed it was like gym class where you just go in, you look around, you size up, and you take your shower next to everybody. And I didn't want to do that for 4 years. In hindsight, I now see that maybe that was wrong. And I could have gone away to college.
Maybe that
I should have took my SATs. That was part of the reason I didn't take my SATs was, why take them? I'm not going away for those first 2 years because I'm not showering with people.
I mean, let's face it. When they make the 30 for 30 of Mraz's life, right before commercial break, we get to his decision of not going to college based on communal showers. And then everything else is how his life unfolds, how it would be so different had he actually just asked somebody on a college tour, hey, do we get to shower alone? Also, Mraz with a really infamous line says, I didn't want to play shrimp cocktail. That's the way that he described communal showers.
I will say, though, like, times have changed. I'm hearing this, and I think at 33, I'm comfortable with my body. I'd go play naked volleyball with these people.
Oh, really? Really?
I'd get in a cornhole tournament. Why not? Really? Be free.
Come on, man.
I think you're very vulnerable when you're younger, and your mid-30s fun. I walk around. Yesterday, I was Windexing a coffee table butt naked with the blinds wide open.
That's cool.
I had just gotten in from the pool, so I was letting my bathing suit dry, and then I saw a little smudge. You know, that prompted my wife to come out and yell, oh, the neighbors can see you. Whatever. Nobody was seeing me. Nobody was walking past. But I'm way more free with my body now. I would go to this colony, I think. I'd at least test. I may not go overnight, but if I could buy like an 8-hour pass, go play some volleyball, hit the pool, I think I would do it.
Property values plummeting in Mraz's neighborhood as he Windexes naked. But I like the idea that you want to go to a nudist fast pass. Like, just give me an 8-hour pass. I'm going to show up, play some volleyball. I'm done for the day.
Well, the activities sound great. They do. Volleyball, pool.
Potluck dinner.
Potluck dinner would be great. Imagine a little pot roast. Somebody brings the corn on the cob. You're sitting there. You're having a good time. Oh, Teresa, what did you make? Oh, macaroni salad. That looks tremendous. Thank you. We all have a great time.
Cornhole.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, again, like I've learned from going and being skeptical in a nude beach near me, they're not the kind of people you would think or dream of as a young boy. You're not going to see these most beautiful women.
That's what they're saying about you.
Right, but that's how I know I'd fit in now, because there's no judgment, D.A. You're going to see a bunch of – that's it. You go to this colony, it's a bunch of me playing volleyball. Oh, set me up. All right, bump, spike, let's go.
No, it's not a
and
bunch
it's, you know,
of
it's me, it's Anthony, it's Gregory, and we're all just sitting there with our man boobs flopping out, having a blast.
Happy Anthony, Be Alive Day.
Anthony, Gregory, and Teresa are in Mraz's imagination nudist colony that he would go to.
Right. Gregory, is that a mole? You should get that checked out. You know, you just have a good time. You're looking out for each other.
That does sound like a good time. So I really like this pivot that you've made from terrified to even attempt to go away to school to I'd be happy to get an 8-hour fast pass to a nudist colony.
I'd at least check it out. I might be feel really uncomfortable after 3 hours, like that movie Wanderlust with Paul Rudd. But if I know that we're going to be – I like playing volleyball. I like playing cornhole. I like potluck dinners.
Do you
like the
playing
pool.
Volleyball with clothes on?
Well, I mean, I play in the pool with a bathing suit on. At that point, it's just some thin mesh and a, you know, a layer of polyester. You take that off and away you go.
Look, the one thing I don't want to see – are nudists playing cornhole, because
why not? I mean, bending down would be a little rough.
Yeah, you're bending down to get the bags. You're leaning forward with one leg up sometimes to throw the bags. I mean, it's you're
leaning forward with one leg up. What is your technique? I have both feet planted.
Have you ever seen anybody like throw the bags? They kind of lean forward to throw the bags.
Okay.
They got their balance going forward. So
yeah, that's how Francesa does it.
I just look. I don't.
So am I really the only one that would go check it out for 8 hours? Come on.
Yeah, I'm not a nudist.
I wouldn't go for 8 minutes. Sports.
I know he's not on the air, but the Wizard of Watch, D.A. Kaplan, absolutely strikes me as a nudist. I could totally
Cap's a nudist.
Totally. I could see Kaplan enjoying himself at a nudist colony. I could totally see Cap on his vacation. Oh, DA's taking off. Oof, I'm getting up to Massachusetts. Only the Red Sox hat on, N95 mask, just butt naked playing volleyball.
So the best part about this is the imagery of this nudist colony that Bogus is talking about, where they wear nothing except the mask.
Or in socks.
And socks.
Which so, is weird.
If you're worried about the removal of civil liberties or feeling vulnerable out there by wearing a mask, these are people that actually have no other clothes on besides the mask. Those are the people we should be trusting right now. They are so committed to the cause. They are willing to be naked and yet wear a mask at the same
right.
time.
Right, and you have J.J. Watt joking around about maybe not playing football with that new Oakley mask, and I got Gregory and Teresa serving bumps and spikes, basically private
That's
parts hanging all over the place
thing.
With a regular mask.
I mean, a volleyball. Doesn't that feel like...
A lot of jumping,
yeah. A lot of splits, a lot of diving, a lot of everything everywhere.
But that's fun. I think it would be fun. We should all go. Honestly, we should take a trip and go.
To play volleyball or to go to a nudist colony?
We'll spend one night overnight. We'll get separate rooms. And let's just see how it goes. The volleyball, the cornhole. That's good show content. We come back the next day. We don't have to talk about how everybody actually looked in certain places.
Look,
but we could come back with some good stories. I think it'd be good for the show. Good field trip.
If you want to scar everybody, make them ashamed, go to the corner of the room and potentially quit, you do this. This is a way to immediately break up whatever friendship we actually have and make people terribly embarrassed about who they are and our relationship with one another.
We'll wear masks. We'll go. Come on. Who cares? It'd be funny. We'll have a good time.
I'll go sell insurance before that.
Maybe we'll meet friends for life. You don't know. Maybe the potluck will have a turkey breast. You don't know.
I would rather open up my mouth wide like I was at the dentist and have you sneeze directly into it than see you at a nudist colony in nothing but an N95 mask.
Playing volleyball with a bunch of 60-year-olds.
We could have our own volleyball team versus the rest of the nudists. Maybe we'll go on a run. We'll winner's court.
Okay, you want? Yeah. Okay, so winner's court. Would you want Schwartz to be at the nudist colony with us playing?
Oh,
there will be plenty of people that look like Peter Schwartz at the nudist colony. No doubt. No doubt. Skin tags all over the place.
All right.
855-212-4227.
Trash Tuesday. Oh, God.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
It wasn't even close. Days of Thunder versus The Air Up There. The Air Up There, a 90s film with Kevin Bacon traveling to Africa to find himself an NBA star, kind of like the Hakeem Olajuwon story, I guess it was supposed to be, got roasted in this matchup. Days of Thunder pulling away on Twitter. 77% of you said we should review Days of Thunder tomorrow. 82% on Facebook said it. Reportedly, Tom Cruise handpicked Nicole Kidman to be his love interest in Days of Thunder. They were married a year later. They lasted for 11 years and then got divorced after that. So there it is. That's the winner. Days of Thunder for tomorrow morning with Mothership at the movies. Even with sports about to rebound and return this month, we are still going to continue through this summer on Wednesday mornings reviewing the best sports films of all time. And Ed. Ooh, we got some friendly fire this morning here on the show. We've got another trash. This one's from Zach in New York. I'm trashing Mraz. He was listening yesterday while doing breaststroke laps and paused his swim to text me that Saquon isn't a top five running back. He did that so I would talk about him on the radio show. Now calling me pathetic for wanting a retweet from Snooki. His entire account fishes for retweets. Trash him!
That deserves a trash can emoji.
That's from Zach Gelb, who, of course, hosts evenings here on CBS Sports Radio.
I will take Bradley.
Man, he could put lipstick on a pig and call it a clown all he wants. He was thirsty.
Are you thirsty, though?
No, I'm not thirsty. I am who I am. I'm very transparent of when I'm fishing and not. I have not fished for a long time, and I certainly wouldn't be going out of my way butting in somebody else's business to make sure Snooki retweets me. That's exactly what he did.
Mike tweets, I've actually lost weight during pandemic, DA, and I'm a stoner. No excuses, Mraz. You can do this, man.
I mean, good for you, bro. I mean, what did he – how? We not eating junk food? Who didn't sit on their ass, watch Netflix, and eat junk food during a quarantine? Raise your hand. You're going to find four people in America.
Yeah, but you've got more time than ever to exercise.
No, I don't. I have a baby at home. I do not have more time than ever.
But you have saved more than 3 hours every day on a commute. You know that producing this show these days falls largely to other people, not you. You do book guests. You do book guests, but largely the responsibilities have fallen to other people. Your workload has been cut and your commute is non-existent. You have way more time to exercise.
Well, time out. I absolutely am still trying to run and do all this. I don't have a gym open with ellipticals and big weights.
You
can't and now
just go on a run?
I can, but my runs are getting shorter. It is hot and humid and uncomfortable.
Isn't that how you lose
dangerous.
Weight? Isn't that how you lose weight?
No, I could have a heat stroke. I could have a heat stroke jocking down Orinoco right now at noon. I got to wait either till night when I'm doing the topics, or I'm not waking up at 4 a.m. to do it. So I'm going to hope that there's a little breeze later and I can figure it out. Yesterday I did 2 miles. I was going to do 3 and I had to come home because I almost went in my pants. So that's you know, these are the things I'm dealing with.
What a shame.
Why don't you just don't wear clothes at all? That'll help you with the heat a little bit. Just
exactly.
So you're ready to be nude, just do it that way.
No, if I played volleyball all day at a nudist colony naked, obviously in volleyball, jumping around, that would be the best exercise I could get right now. Maybe that's what I got to do to lose weight. Go to the nudist colony in Massachusetts.
Perfect segue. Here is your epic fail of the morning.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I walk around. Yesterday, I was Windexing a coffee table butt naked with the blinds wide open.
That's cool.
I had just gotten in from the pool, so I was letting my bathing suit dry, and then I saw a little smudge. You know, that prompted my wife to come out and yell, oh, the neighbors can see you. Whatever. Nobody was seeing me. Nobody was walking past. But I'm way more free with my body now. I would go to this colony, I think.
All decided that you paid us last night with your friendship and honesty and your stories.
But I like the idea that you want to go to a nudist fast pass. Like, just give me an 8-hour pass. We're going to show up, play some volleyball. I'm done for the day.
So what you do is you just basically shout out whatever you don't like. Shout it out. Why is there war? Mushrooms.
We should all go. Honestly, we should take a trip and go.
To play volleyball or to go to a nudist colony?
We'll spend one night overnight. We'll get separate rooms. And let's just see how it goes. The volleyball, the cornhole. That's good show content. We come back the next day. We don't have to talk about how everybody actually looked in certain places. I have a big wiener in my hand.
Look,
but we could come back with some good stories. I could be good for the show. Good field trip.
If you want to scar everybody, make them ashamed, go to the corner of the room and potentially quit, you do this. This is a way to immediately break up whatever friendship we actually have.
Are you okay? Oh yeah? Never been better, my man.
And make people terribly embarrassed about who they are and our relationship with one another.
We'll wear masks. We'll go. Come on. Who cares? It'd be funny. We'll have a good time.
I'll go sell insurance before that.
Maybe we'll meet friends for life. You don't know. Maybe the potluck will have a turkey breast. You don't know.
I would rather open up my mouth wide like I was at the dentist and have you sneeze directly into it than see you at a nudist colony in nothing but an N95 mask.
Oh, my God, this place is incredible. Do you live here?
No. I live wherever I am.
Playing volleyball with a bunch of 60-year-olds.
We can have our own volleyball team versus the rest of the nudists. Maybe we'll go on a run. We'll winner's court.
Okay. You want? Yeah, okay. So winner's court.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
The nudist colony version of White Men Can't Jump is Mraz playing naked volleyball.
White men better not jump.
Who wants next? Who wants next? Come bring it. Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Connor Green, the associate producer today, and Andrew Bogush on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.